May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In our second reading, Jesus is just beginning his ministry, his earthly ministry. And he had just gotten through the temptation in the wilderness by Satan. And he has just been rejected by his kinsmen and by his people who he knew in Nazareth. But regardless of these profound and often disconcerting beginnings, Jesus did not start cautiously. He began immediately associating himself with the ritually unclean, with the tax collectors, with the sinners. He immediately began to doing things that pious people would not do in first century Palestine. In verses 37 through 39, Jesus says this in response to a lot of the objections that he's been receiving. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new. For he says, the old is good. And so he's using an illustration. He's using a parable to tell us what he's trying to tell us. Now, what exactly is he trying to tell us? What does he mean by this? And what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you an example from my life to help illustrate what Jesus is trying to communicate here. I was older when I was married. I was 36 when I was married. When I was in seminary, my mentor told me that I had to go ahead and go get married or I was going to go insane. Now, that was advice for me, not for you. If you're single, that's not for you. It's for me. It was for me, from him. And he said, you know, I was even more opinionated than I am now. Even more stubborn than I am now. You would not have wanted to know me, you know, in seminary. And what was that? Why was I difficult? Well, I was sort of making my own reality in my mind. Whatever I deduced to be true about the world or about a person or about a theology or about whatever it was, automatically it was true in my mind. And marriage tends to divest you of a lot of this sort of self-confidence. I'll just call it self-confidence. You can call it something else. But marriage tends to divest you of a lot of that. Marriage checks unfettered opinions and unfettered worldviews, not to mention alienating characteristics. And I'm not saying you have any alienated characteristics, because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person who's sitting next to you. Are you really going to go out with that on? You know, are you really going to go out with that on? You know, you're really rude to that person. And you're really wrong on that particular idea that you have. I mean, gloriously wrong about this particular thing. Marriage is a new reality that people engage in. And it needs new people. A new reality needs new people. And when marriage smooths rough edges, it's tough and it's easy to react against it. But the question is the person, is the spouse, is the husband, is the wife, are they open to that commentary on their lives? We'll be understated this morning. That commentary that in their lives, that loving commentary. Or are they defensive about it? Now this is important. It's important for you, it's important for me, and it's important to think about as we think of new wineskins. Because when they made wineskins in first century Palestine, they made them out of sheepskin or out of goatskin. And what would happen is, over time, these skins would get very brittle. And of course, you have new wine. You put new wine into these old wineskins. And what does the new wine do? It ferments, it expands, and with brutal skins, it explodes. I learned this in college. My roommate and I decided we were going to take a canteen, fill it up with grape juice, put the lid back on the canteen, and put it up for a year. So we did that. After a year was over, we took the canteen down, and it was all inflated. It had completely filled out, disfigured the canteen totally. And then we did the wrong thing. We opened it. And we didn't try that again. So that's sort of what happens with old wineskins and new wine. And we try, and I try to do the same thing in marriage. If you try to do the same thing in marriage as when you were single, and many do, things don't end well. Individuals, trying to be an individual in the context of being one flesh, because that's what we say in the marriage ceremony, right? The two shall become one flesh. And if you're trying to be an individual in the bad sense, in the good sense it's okay, but in the bad sense, there'll be problems, because new wine will be placed in old wineskins, right? What would be a new wineskin as far as marriage, as far as new wine? It would be self-denial. It would be service to your spouse. It would be love. It would be holding your tongue. That sort of thing. That would be new wine in new wineskins. So all these sorts of people, sinners, tax collectors, lepers, the ritually unclean, they're all flocking to Jesus. And Jesus even went to a party of tax collectors. Have you ever been to a party of tax collectors? Could you imagine how that might be? Well, Jesus was there, and the Pharisees didn't like it. They didn't like it one bit. And you see, the reason the Pharisees didn't like it is because they were in old wineskins. They were dressed up in old wineskins. They approached God. What mediated their relationship with God was the law. It was the law. It was the demand. It was the old way. It was the old wine. And what the law basically said is that you have to clean yourself up before coming to God. If you want to have an encounter with God, you need to clean yourself up first to make God approachable in that sense. So they engaged in morality, a lot of fasting, a lot of washing, doing the sorts of things that the law prescribed. And when Jesus was not doing these sorts of things, they called his spiritual integrity into question. And they felt that he was marred and tainted by the company that he kept. But the thing about the Old Testament, the thing about the old wine, is that there's something in the Old Testament that they didn't see. And the thing about the Old Testament they didn't see is that everything in the Old Testament points to something new. Everything in the Old Testament points to this very moment that we are experiencing with Jesus. You hear it in Psalms, a new song. God will sing a new song. There will be a new heart, Jeremiah. Enlivened bones that were once dry and dusty, being made into a living person, Ezekiel. I could go on and on. The Old Testament points to this new thing that is happening right before their eyes. And what I want you to understand is that the gospel is the new wine. You see, the law is the old wine and the old wineskin. The gospel is the new wine. And the Son of God has come here in the beginning of Luke with his gospel. And you know what that does? That vastly changes the way you relate to God. It vastly changes the way you relate to God. Because the law is no longer the mediator between you and God. What is? The forgiveness of sins. A Christ, a Messiah who seeks sinners, looks for them, goes out to find them. And it changes the way you relate to the law as well. The gospel does. The law is no longer the mediator between you and God. It is a perfect and holy demand that shows you your need. And that's the kicker. That's the thing right there. When we're talking about new wine and new wineskins, the one who understands their need flocks to the new wine of the gospel. The one who understands their need is the new wineskin. And the gospel is the new wine that fills up the new wineskin. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you can't even pray? Do you feel like that you need to straighten up before you can come to the throne of God? Do you feel like you need to change a certain habit or do something different from what you've been doing currently in order to talk to God? Do you feel that way? Many do. That's the yeast of the Pharisee. That is the old wine. That is the old wine skin. And when we go to church, if you're of that mindset, we are pouring new wine into old wineskins. You see, if the law is the way you mediate with God, then if you fail, you despair and you leave. And if you feel like you succeed, you become self-righteous and uncompassionate towards people. But the gospel says that the tax collectors and the sinners didn't have to clean themselves up before they came to see God, and neither do you. And that is the message of the gospel. That is the new wine. Do you see your need, and do you understand the new wine of the gospel? If you do, new wine has found its way into new wineskins. Amen.